do some talking.
So let's put our mouths onto these microphones.
Let's not.
And breathe over our vocal cords to make noises. Yes, just like that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you did that and I didn't.
I followed it step by step.
That's how you record a podcast.
Welcome.
Was that the start?
Welcome to Nerd Critic, a deep dive into big movies from the dual perspective of critical nerdiness. My name is CJ.
And my name is Jordan. CJ here is our resident nerd.
And Jordan is our studied and credentialed critic.
Thank you. Yes.
Who CJ. Did not breathe heavily into
I
the
I didn't.
Mic.
That was CJ. That was all that CJ. Was but when me. You did that, I was distinctly reminded of this wonderful webcomic I saw. It's instructions on how to tell a joke. And it's just CPR. And each step of the CPR diagram is like the words are changed. So it's like prepare the audience of the joke by laying him gently down onto the ground. And make sure he's in a relaxed position. And then it's like, speak the joke quietly into the recipient's mouth. It's so funny. It's so funny. Anyway, so there's that. All right. Today, well, first of all, a couple of announcements.
Yeah.
So this episode is coming out on I believe, Friday.
Indeed.
For all the plebs who are not premium subscribers.
Yeah.
And so on Friday, if you have not seen Terminator Dark Fate yet, and you're listening to this episode, this is the last call to join us for the AMC 16 in Burbank 5:15 p.m. screening. IMAX.
Rose E and F. I've had a couple people approach me. Listen, we did not rent out a theater.
We did not rent out a theater. We did not buy out those rows.
If
you want your tickets, if you want to see this,
just go.
Buy your own damn tickets.
We're just a couple of friends wanting to go see a movie with a couple of friends.
We would love for you to come see the movie with us. If you don't want to see the movie, if you've already seen it, if you don't like us. That's not part of this.
Oh, okay, sorry.
If it's sold out or you can't get the seat, whatever. If you don't come to see the movie with us, you could come to the AMC 16. There's like a whole like little plaza outside. And we're just gonna hang out in a little courtyard.
Totally.
Maybe go get something to eat.
I'm always hungry after a movie.
Go catch us after the movie.
Yeah, we'll talk about
it. There's gonna be a giant screaming crowd of fans around us. It'll be impossible to miss.
Or I'll have a Nerd Critic shirt on.
We'll have our Nerd Critic shirts.
That's funny because no one knows what we look like. How are they going to find us?
Buy the Nerd Critic shirts.
The Nerd Critic shirts. Yes. Also, we have a website. There's pictures.
Oh, yeah. No, you should know what we look like by now. We haven't hidden ourselves.
No. We also had some fan art. So if there's people who – if there's a fan that knows us well enough that they know how to draw us, everyone else knows what we look like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's why I get stopped on the street all the time.
Got it. Or it's actually because you look like Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
And that's who they think you're
in. I frequently forget to wear pants.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, sir. Oh, you must be a Nerd Critic then.
That was so out of the blue. Not at all what I expected you to say. Man.
There's a pretty good sketch in there. Someone who thinks they're famous just because they keep breaking public indecency laws.
Oh, yeah, it's funny.
All right. Today we're talking about Black and Blue.
Indeed.
We ran a poll.
We did.
And you voted, and it was very close, but Black and Blue won.
Yes, we did a poll on Instagram. And if you're like, what? They did a poll? That means you're not following us on Instagram.
Yeah.
So follow us on Instagram. But yeah, Jordan basically just pitched each movie. It was Maleficent 2, it was Black and Blue, or it was The Current War, and it was tight between The Current War and Black and Blue, and Maleficent was so far behind, it wasn't even funny.
Yeah, and you thought our audience was going to be shoo-in for Maleficent.
Listen,
You were very wrong about our listeners.
I actually made a bet with a coworker on how much money Maleficent 2 would make, and the loser had to take the other one out to dinner.
And now you owe somebody dinner, don't you?
And now I owe somebody dinner. Listen, the first one made like $800 million.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Angelina Jolie became less popular.
That's fair.
Honestly, I just think it's something that people watched, and I didn't see the first movie, but I watched the preview and I was like, I cannot tell how this is different from the first movie.
Sure.
I don't understand.
Michelle Pfeiffer's in it now.
That's great.
Cool.
I don't understand why the movie exists.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, I guess to say the same thing for was it Snow White, and the Huntsman or whatever?
Yeah.
That movie did pretty well though. Didn't it?
Did the second one?
I don't know. Actually, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I should have looked this up. I'm digging myself into a hole.
I did watch both of them, and they were movies.
I watched the first one, and I can confirm the first one was also a movie.
It was indeed a movie.
All right.
We're not talking about any of those.
We're talking about Black and Blue.
Yes.
I'm excited to talk about this movie, actually.
Me too. I'm interested to see. We haven't spoken at all about it, so I don't know what your opinion is.
My opinion is that it was directed by Dion Taylor, who's done a lot of other, a handful of other relatively notable movies that I won't get into because we're not talking about huge blockbusters here, but we're talking about a little bit of a type of a movie, sort of like I don't want to say B-list because that makes me think of like TV movies, but I'd say like slightly more mid-range in terms of like mid-budget, like thriller type stuff.
Yeah.
So he's working in his genre. Peter A. Dowling wrote the screenplay, doesn't have, I think, any obvious credits that would point him at this movie, but, you know, he's been working for a while, it looks like, on his IMDb, my cursory review of his IMDb page. The big thing for me in this movie is the cast, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So we've got Naomi Harris as the protagonist, Alicia West. We've got Mike Coulter playing Darius, who is the sort of big bad or halfway big bad
he's
gangster.
Big.
He's definitely big.
Halfway bad.
Halfway bad.
Yeah.
It's good. I like that. All the way big, halfway bad. We've got Terry Malone, Frank Grillo, who is a really good character actor and has been in a lot of stuff. And I really like him. And I will be honest, one of the reasons I went to see this movie was because of Frank Grillo.
Yeah, I completely agree. For the MCU fans out there, this is the guy who plays Crossbones.
Yes.
The guy that's chasing Captain America and Captain America Winter Soldier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. What better pedigree do you need? Also,
right?
Warrior.
Oh man, yeah. Is he in Warrior?
He is in Warrior.
Yeah, he's one of the coaches.
The coach you always wanted.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, he's interesting. Interesting. He seems to tend to play a villain more often. But I think he's one of those rare actors that can really go both directions.
Yeah.
I think with equal kind of force of.
He definitely has a brand though.
Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Very intense.
I like him a lot. Yeah,
yeah. He's great. Tyrese Gibson as Milo Mouse Jackson.
I think it's Milo.
Milo? Probably it's Milo.
I think it's Milo. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm in a weird pronunciation place right now. My mouth is just really interested in making sounds that are unexpected. Nefessa Williams as Missy. I don't really know Nefessa Williams at all, but she's in it. And then also James Moses Black, who has such a face. Such a face.
Such a face.
If I'm also being equally honest, one of the reasons why I wanted to see this movie so bad was because of his face in the preview. When he's asking her if she's black and he says, you're blue now. That was such a good moment that I was like, I need to see this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say I wasn't disappointed. I'm just going to say he has such a face. Anyway, I spent way more time on the cast than I expected to. Are you okay with me bridging into the spoiler?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So for me, the biggest sort of nerd out, and I'll get into actually nerding out about this, was the cast. So I think this movie had like a really great heart with a lot of really weak scenes. I think like relatively or if not very mediocre to even maybe bad writing with like a really fantastic cast and really across the board pretty good performances and a really fantastic performance by Naomi Harris. I loved Tyrese Gibson. I loved pretty much everybody in this movie. Like there weren't really any characters who I thought
the only one that kind of fell flat for me was the partner, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So I think that this movie is better than what critics are saying. Okay. I see the issues with it, and I understand them. But I think the heart shines through, and maybe I'm a sucker for the heart of a movie, but I think the heart kind of shines through. I also was impressed with the balancing line of, I know that the writing had some iffy parts, but I think that the, that this movie did really well at telling a very like, hey, this could happen. This is something that's real. This is an issue in America, without being super preachy. And some of the lines were very preachy,
yes.
but I felt like it didn't land as preachy or annoying to me.
No, it felt this is such an interesting movie to me because I didn't have like it wasn't a very suspenseful or even like I wouldn't even say very like successful movie in the sense of like entertainment. Like I didn't like spend the whole movie being like, oh, on the edge of my seat, like, oh, this is so great, I can't believe what's going to happen next. It was really predictable.
It was really predictable.
There were pretty much no surprises at all.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, if that wasn't a satisfying ending.
Like, yeah, it was I would say that.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked the movie. I really
it's liked it. It's because of that heart.
Yeah, no, it's because of the heart.
Yeah.
This is a movie that I would recommend to people.
I would too.
It wasn't like. Well done in this, in like the traditional sense of like having a tight script and a narrative that made sense and kept you guessing. And like, it really, as the genre it's sort of supposed to be, it like didn't work, but like I liked it anyway.
Yeah.
Which is very rare for me.
Yeah. Where the movie ends up, the result of the movie is very predictable.
Yes.
I think that there was some parts in the journey that were enjoyable and there was enough like good character moments that I went with it and I was okay with it and I could kind of look past because the bad scenes weren't like, yeesh, that was terrible. They were just like, meh, they could have done better. So like it didn't put me totally off.
It generally speaking wasn't like so bad that you cringed.
Yeah.
Which is important.
Which is very important.
If it hit those points, you lose a lot.
Yeah.
You lose a lot of goodwill.
I wasn't embarrassed that I was watching it.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. Like I was okay being there and I walked out like, okay. Yeah. I like that movie.
Yeah.
And I would tell people. In fact, I texted my brother today. And he said, I'm going to go see Maleficent 2. And I said, don't you dare. Go see Black and Blue instead. And he said, it's not showing in any theater near me. And I was like, well, then sucks for you, I guess. Move to LA. So I think he went to go see Maleficent 2.
But the moral of the story.
The moral of the story is that it was good enough
for
me to.
That really got away from you, CJ. You should have stopped.
And then I found $20.
What I did was I Venmo'd him, and he still was like, man, it doesn't matter that you Venmo'd me. I can't see it because it literally isn't playing anywhere near me.
An ending or a story with no ending.
I love that. And then I found $20 being the like last ditch effort to save your crappy anecdote.
The reason I told that story was to get across the fact that I did actually support it and say, go see this movie.
Yes, absolutely.
So
ineffectually, but yes.
Yes. Yes. So I will leave the spoiler-free part and say, don't expect anything groundbreaking, but go see it.
Absolutely. If you go in with like very modest expectations as to what this movie is, I think you will enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So I think we're done with spoiler free.
Okay.
Especially since, honestly, this is a hard movie to spoil.
Yeah. I mean, it ends up where you expected.
You saw the preview.
Yeah.
The preview is she goes in and she's a rookie cop. Her partner is involved in some very nefarious shootings of some CIs, and she gets it on her body cam, and they try to hunt her down to kill her, and surprise, surprise, they fail, and she ends up being able to turn in the footage, etc.
And then you have a plot football to the most... if you ever wonder what a plot football is,
almost the size of a football.
I know it's like literally
it's a little Nerf football.
It's a body cam, and it's like that is the Nerf football.
Yes.
So spoiler warning moving forward.
Yes.
Okay. So let's nerd out. So you said you talked about the acting.
I want to talk about the acting. I want to talk about Naomi Harris specifically. And okay. Because I mentioned it so early, I want to talk about the end.
Okay.
I want to talk about her last line, or not the last line, but like the sort of...
No way are you going to bring up the first thing I was going to bring up. I haven't looked at your notes at all.
Well, I didn't. I don't think I wrote this down in my notes.
Okay, go ahead.
Probably am going to.
Probably.
It's so good.
It is
so
good.
It really is really good. It's really good.
Could it have potentially been preachy, but they did okay with
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely.
Okay, then it's totally the same thing.
Totally,
but go ahead.
It's totally the same thing.
Go ahead.
So our unfortunately monologue-y villain, Terry Malone, played by the inestimable Frank Grillo, chewing through every scene with veins popping out of like all, every vein in his neck on the outside of his neck, every scene. he's going on and on about like how, you know, they're in it's the final showdown, right? Like she's got the gun trained on him and he's like, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to help you. Actually, no, he has the gun now, I think, right? Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
He's speech making. He's searching her for the camera. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's searching her for the camera, and he's like, these people don't care about you, blah, blah, blah. You're not a hero, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Whatever. It's not interesting. And then she says, do you remember the line specifically?
Did you
write it down?
I do.
You say it, because I meant to write it down and it didn't, and now I'm going to flub it, and I don't want to.
She says, it's not about that. Mm-hmm. And he responds and says, okay, then what's it about? And she says, I wrote it down. She says, it's about be the change, you asshole.
Yeah, there it is.
That was it.
And honestly, the way that she delivers that line is
phenomenal.
It's worth the price of admission.
Yeah, it was.
Brought me to tears.
Yeah, so it was actually, so that was the first thing that I wrote down in my notes because it was such the high point because it was like everything that this movie wanted to be that it kind of wasn't, but sometimes was, it was in that moment.
Yeah.
And because yep. it could have been music swells, she gives this speech about be the change that you want to see in the world, and it could have just been terrible. But what they did is she has been through so much,
yep.
and she is so fed up with this guy that she just is like, no, it's not. That's not it, you moron. That's not what you're wrong.
Yeah.
Just be the change. That's it. Be the change. And it was like almost just normal. Just conversational, be the change.
Yeah,
and it landed so well.
I can't emphasize enough how crazy it is that worked, because it's 2019.
Yeah,
and somehow that line, because Obama was elected president in 2008, wasn't he?
Sure, I have no idea, dude.
No, 2008. It was 2008. It was 2008 to 2016. He was president for 8 years.
Yeah.
And if you say be the change, probably the first person you think of is Obama, right?
Didn't someone before that
probably
say that? Yeah.
But I feel like you think about Obama, right? Don't you? Didn't you think about Obama?
Did you not think
about Obama?
I did not.
CJ,
no.
Think about Obama. I'm being an idiot here, but I feel
okay,
like...
Okay, I was right. I had to look it up. I thought of Gandhi.
Okay.
Because it is Gandhi. You Gandhi must says be it. The change you wish to see in the world.
Okay, so Gandhi says it.
Sure.
But I feel like it was...
In context of the movie.
Fairly platformy.
Sure.
Right? I mean, this was like... Yeah. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like hope like was the hope. Central yeah, yeah. tenet yeah. of, you know... And the actualization of hope is to... be the change.
Yeah.
And so that I remember hearing that phrase a lot
mm-hmm.
as Obama was running for president. And then after he got elected, I remember hearing that phrase a lot. And I think I'm not alone here. I think this is relatively whatever. Anyway, so it just is. And we're not going to get into politics here. So, you know, say what you will about Obama, say what you will about, really don't say what you will about Gandhi. It's freaking Gandhi. But like, honestly,
well, you also need to understand that I was 17.
Right.
You were 23?
Yeah.
So
I was very deeply enmeshed in
the
political.
Our place in the world and our attention to politics was very,
very
different,
very different
at the time.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that is very true. So we've got what we have kind of is a sort of a spiritual callback to the spirit of what sort of was dominating the conversation, the political and the cultural conversation of, let's say, 2008,
yeah,
and 9, 10 years ago. And now we're in a very different cultural climate, right? It's very different. And it felt like quaint in the right way, yeah, to have her bring that line up is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And the number of ways that could have sucked and really ruined the movie, ruined a mediocre movie,
yeah,
and made it just plain bad are innumerable. Like, yeah, there are so many ways that could have failed, and somehow the film, in all the way that scene was constructed, and really so many of the things that came before, even though they were not great, like they sort of, the whole was so much greater than the sum of its parts to deliver that scene, and then Naomi Harris's performance
so good
was just so fantastic that it stuck the landing in a truly surprising way. Like, that line caught me off guard, mm-hmm, like emotionally. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh my gosh, like, that's so beautiful, because you just summed up like the literal reason that this movie got made. Like, that's, yeah, the whole point that this movie was made.
It was the only line in the movie, because let me tell you something about myself, Jordan.
I'd love to hear it.
I used to work in the self-help space, right? So I worked for a couple that were, putting together these self-help e-learning seminar things, and they would speak and all of that. And there's a very specific culture in the self-help world. And so I have been listening to, and my wife has been listening to, self-help books. And I've discovered specifically this last week, I've been aware of it, but I really discovered it this last week, that when I'm listening to a self-help book, I am so susceptible to that, like, motivational speaking. It's like every idea I've ever had, I want to pursue right here, right now. Let's go. And I'm so motivated and I feel so great. I am an absolute sucker for that kind of speaking. Same goes for if you're trying to, like, get something across in a movie. I am so forgiving to preachy movies because I can just see it and be like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go. Like, and even stuff like Warrior. I watch Warrior and I'm like so ready to join the UFC. Like, I'm like, I'm a big guy, I could do it, but like, what? No. So, and I'm just very susceptible. I was feeling none of that during this movie. I know that it wanted me to, but I was feeling none of that.
Yeah.
That line was delivered, and I was ready to start a nonprofit for inner city children. Like, it was that one line that was the spark that made the fire of this entire movie actually ignite.
Yeah.
And it's what it's kind of, I'm putting a lot on that one line, and there's more to this movie than just that one line, but it was a huge contributing factor to me walking out of the theater happy.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I am, everything you said, I agree with, except for I'm not that guy. I'm not susceptible to motivation.
We are very different in that way.
In that way, we are almost night and day. I am exceptionally cynical in certain areas, and that is one yeah. that it's like near the top of the list. Like, I want to punch most of those people in the face.
I know. Like, I do too. That's the weird thing.
I am an incredibly nonviolent person, but I feel violent against the people who sort of peddle that stuff without any weight behind them. Like, I think so I say that if I can further credential myself as a critic of this particular thing. That's why I find it so amazing that worked for me in this movie. Because yeah. here we have a movie that is just okay, just kind of like doing its thing, and it's like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of problems with it, and it's kind of easy to see the problems with it, and I honestly don't think we're going to spend a lot of time on the problems, because it's like there's a lot, and I yeah. don't, and it's tiresome, and so, you know, I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, sure, you know, enjoying the performances, you know, kind of mm-hmm. just like engaging when I can, because I'm a generous viewer,
sure,
but like, you know, and then just getting gut punched by that scene,
yeah,
you know, and yeah. it's just like that, and it really, you know, the reason it worked. The real reason it worked is not just because that scene was done really well, although it needed to be, and it was. It's because the thematic elements that needed to be in there, the moments, the narrative material that needed to exist leading up to that was in there. Like, it was in there. Yeah. And the performance was there, too. So Naomi Harris was this sort of beleaguered, you know, do-gooder. And watching her be my favorite kind of hero, which is barely competent enough to survive.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she's clearly competent. She's clearly, like, very good at her job. But, like, she's shot right away and has to, like, survive, you know, Die Hard style to, like, the next thing and the next thing. Never really has the upper hand, ever. It's just sort of, like, trying to not die. Always looks hunted and frightened. And, you know, like, that character, like, what we're seeing is somebody paying the cost of doing the right thing. And it's like and it's so obvious, you know? It's not like you're ever confused about that. But you needed to see that happen in that way all the way through the movie so that when you get to that scene, it hits you.
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah, it really does. I wanted to move on from that scene, so it's not it's not a whole podcast episode on that scene.
Although
it could be.
I will say it is often a fantasy of mine to do. In fact, we should intentionally one day do like an entire off the shelf episode about on like one scene.
All right. I'd be okay with that, actually. Yeah, it would be a lot of fun.
I mean, maybe not for our listeners, but for me.
It would have to be a good scene.
Well, there are many that we could point to.
It's true. I wanted to – so things I wanted to nerd out about. So this is something that exists on both my nerd out and my critic list, and that is the sometimes very obvious clues that they give you that you know will come back to play later in the movie. So I want to nerd out about it because they did it, which is good. They actually gave us the pieces of the puzzle that we needed to have to make everything make sense. And that's difficult to do, and a lot of movies don't do it, and this movie did, so I appreciate it. It's on the other side because it was so obvious. It was like they would zoom in on something and just linger, and you're like, I understand. It's a spoon. I get it. I know a spoon will come back later.
Or like his name on the mailbox with the music.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It was, and there
come
was,
come on.
There was a bunch that were just like laid on so thick. There was one that was actually really well done that was not laid on thick. But if you were kind of an eagle eye, you spotted it. And I am an eagle eye that I appreciated. And that was, major spoiler alert, at the end, when Milo is in the precinct downloading the footage, you see him put the camera on the left side of two cameras. And then when the cop comes in, he has to freak out and pick him up. You see him grab the right one. So, you know, he did it right. And that was cool. But most of them were so obvious. It was a little painful, but I appreciated that they were there.
Yeah.
I appreciated that the stakes felt real. Like, you knew where it was going, but you're like, man, she could not win. Like, it felt like you knew what would happen if she didn't win.
The consequences were very well motivated.
Yes.
You're like, okay.
Her, so, and her actions because of that.
Yeah. Like, I get why all those cops want to kill her.
Yeah.
And I get why all the criminals want to kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very, it was very clear.
Yeah.
Which, again, in a lesser movie like this, it could be the same movie, but in a lesser movie, they wouldn't include the things that would make that so clear.
Yeah.
So I want to like highlight the things that they did well that made the movie not embarrassing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to talk about Tyrese Gibbons?
I am. Yes.
Tyrese Gibson is a teddy bear of a man.
Wait, is this a nerd out or is this a criticism?
It's a nerd out.
Oh, okay.
I loved him.
I did too.
I loved him. I loved him so much. I loved his character.
I think the reluctant hero, like, role.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen it actually done that convincingly.
Yeah.
He was so good.
He was so good. And he was so not, he was so, like, oh, man. A couple of the really heart-pulley, like, heart-string-pull moments for me, like, one of them was him talking about not having a car. Like, just, like, I just, I just loved him.
Yeah.
And I loved, and I felt, it wasn't like a, like, oh, you poor thing, pity. It was like, this guy is just, like, getting through the day.
Just doing his best.
Doing his best. And he's, like, the kind of guy you wish, like, everybody was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the salt of the earth guy who's just, like, running his store and, like, trying to do his best. And, like, no, he doesn't have enough money for a car. Like, and it's, like, and him just, like, talking about that stuff, like, when he explains, like, really all of his stuff was fantastic. Yeah. And, like, him, like, walking home with, like, his headphones on and, like, you know, like the reluctant hero knowing that, like, he, like, does it because it's, like, he just – it's, like, so frustrating because he, like, has to because he's a good person.
He's just a good guy.
But he also knows that it's, like, hopeless.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just so – it's so good. It's so good.
I mean, there was a bunch of little things with him. Just little stuff like, hey, why isn't your boy in school? You know?
Yeah.
Like, the only person to bring it up.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't he in school? And she's like, don't talk to me. Don't judge me. And he just walks away because he knows, like, it's pointless.
Yeah.
But, like, he should probably be in school. And then, oh, man, when he calls the cops and then he starts to tear up.
Yeah.
Oh, that was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That was heartbreaking. And I'll be honest, didn't know Tyrese had that in him.
No.
I
did not either.
I thought that he was a Fast and Furious through and through kind of guy.
Let's put him in way more movies.
Let's do.
Honestly,
that guy was very impressed.
That guy can can carry me through lots of scenes. Like he is I just want to spend more time with him and as an actor, and even if he gets typecast as that kind of an act, that kind of a character, I'm fine because he was so good, he was good at that.
He was really good,
man.
The last thing I wanted to nerd out about is just the I don't know, is it courage? It's probably courage. I want to give props to whoever it is in the movie making process that I need to give props to tell this story.
Yeah.
Or at least to tell a story in this landscape.
Yeah.
Because I can just not relate at all whatsoever. But I spent some time in downtown Houston and just got a glimpse of these kind of communities that I remember one apartment building specifically that looked so similar to the ones in the movies, in this movie, that it was just a bunch of families and it was like kind of secluded and no one really knew it was there. And it just was all of these families that just were stuck. And it was just like so many elements had kind of forced them in to where they were. And it's heartbreaking and it's a real, real problem in America and elsewhere, I'm sure. But this was specifically in New Orleans and Hurricane Katrina and what it did and how it left it. And for them to tell a story so that people can have conversations about it is one of the greatest things about movies and storytelling. And so I'm happy that they told a story in this landscape. And it was an entertaining movie. So I'm going to talk to people about it. And this conversation is going to come up multiple times. So power to whoever that was and all of the people that it took to get this movie made.
Absolutely.
All right. Critical thoughts.
Critical thoughts. I want to start and end positive because we've talked a lot about all the things that we really love about this movie. And I actually just want to follow up what you just said with I want to recommend that people go read A.O. Scott's review on New York Times.
Hmm.
A.O. Scott is one of the best film critics working today, like hands down. He's fantastic.
Is it initials?
A.O. Scott. Yeah.
Okay.
A.O. Scott.
Got it.
Just look for the New York Times review on Black and Blue, and you'll find him. You'll find this article, and I really hope that people, if you're a review reader, I really hope you read this one, because somehow this movie ends up being obvious without being preachy, and I don't know how you do that.
So
we talk about it has a lot of weaknesses, but like it's also so successful in these really critical ways, and I think he said a lot of really great things about it. I don't want to steal his thunder, so go read the review. It's one of the few, I think, genuinely, unabashedly positive reviews from a really insightful film critic.
That's
so
great.
So we're not like, you know, this isn't some guy being like, I liked it, it was good, you know, it was a good theme, it was good, yeah. It's like some guy, it's not, and it's also not like some, like, you know, like pretentious film critic, like, you know, looking down his nose at, like, all the problems. And I also don't think that he's, like, making a, like, a, he's not virtue signaling and, like, making a politics play and saying, look how much I liked this, like, political movie.
Yeah.
No, he's, like, saying, here's a really earnest, successful movie, and here's why it's successful. And,
cool.
And he's, it's, yeah, so.
I'll have to go check that
yeah,
out.
Yeah. A.O. Scott is a film critic hero of mine, so, yeah, check it out.
Cool.
This, I will summarize in one line the weaknesses of this movie. It felt like a TV show.
Okay, so I was going to say, if this movie was on TNT and I stumbled on it,
yeah,
I would have loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, what a great TV movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which might kind of downgrade it a little bit, but it, because it is kind of, it is definitely better than a TV movie, but like it, like if it went to a TV movie, it would be at the top of its game.
Yeah.
Yes. But not as a TV movie. It's not necessarily the top of the
There game. there were a lot of like weird. So the fact that it was so predictable made it hard. Like there just wasn't any real suspense.
Yeah.
Like you knew what was going to happen. You felt the stakes sort of in a way that was like, you know, you could appreciate them and sort of like nod at them. Like, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I acknowledge that.
Yes. Great.
Yeah.
But like you, I was just not, at no point did I really feel like bought in energy wise because it was, there were too many sort of like, it was too obvious. And it was, and there were too many like sort of moments where, we wind up thinking like, isn't really, is that the best we can do here?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
It just didn't really, it didn't really offer anything fresh and exciting at any point. And so I was left kind of just participating
yeah.
casually.
Yeah. I will say though, the one thing like the suspense. Yeah. I didn't really feel the suspense. I acknowledged the stakes, but didn't really, I never doubted that they were going to accomplish what they needed to accomplish.
Yeah.
But I did feel surprisingly satisfied when the bad guys got theirs.
Sure.
Like when the right hand man cop guy.
Who even knows? In fact, I looked on IMDb, couldn't even find his name.
I have no
his
idea.
Character
name. I have no idea. And I have no interest to see him in other things. Sorry, dude, whoever yeah, you are.
Sorry. Not one of the stronger performances.
No, but when he, like, the way that they killed him,
yeah.
I really enjoyed. Like, I was like, yeah, like, got him. Yeah, and which if you don't know who I'm talking about, it's the guy that Tyrese and Naomi fight at the end together, and they end up shooting him straight up the chin.
Yeah,
And he dies, and I was like, friggin' yeah, it's probably because I really didn't like him at all.
He was very unlikable.
Yeah, and so at the very
he
end
murdered
too,
the guy with the best face in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Officer Deacon Brown,
yes.
A.K.A. James Moses Black.
And anyway. So there, yeah. Anyway, there were ineffective attributes of the movie, like the suspense, like potentially the stakes. But I also was very satisfied when the bad guy got theirs.
I want to talk about weak scene writing.
Okay.
And here's one example. One example is we've got Darius, the sort of mob boss guy.
Big bad.
Beaten up Mouse. Tyrese Gibson. Oh, keeps wanting to say Gibbons. Gibson. And he's beating him up, and it's a torture scene, and he's just body blows. It's just body blows.
Yeah.
Like, and at that moment, more than any other, I feel like I'm watching a TV show, right?
Yeah.
It's like, this doesn't feel real to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about, like, you know, it's all this, like, sort of, you know, weak talk about how much, like, how bad this is going to be for you if you don't give me what I want.
Yeah.
By the way, what do you want to know where Alicia West is to know where the main character is. And it just feels obvious. Once again, very, very obvious.
It's very obvious.
Beating you up to get information. And the scene goes on for like quite a while. And then it keeps going. And at the end, when we get out of the scene, it's going on the same way as when we got into the scene. So really nothing happened during the scene.
Yeah.
And also the way that the scene was handled was very boring. There's
nothing interesting about it.
Yeah, nothing interesting about it. Like, you see just Darius punching a guy. And you're like...
And Darius is a giant.
Yeah.
So you're like, ooh, that probably hurts. But, like, that's about as much concern as, like, the mental path that I go down is very much a cul-de-sac of, ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that hurt. Yeah, ouch. Yeah.
That's uncomfortable.
Also, if I was in that position, I could probably not talk.
Yeah. Like, sure.
Like, what's he going
to... I think I can handle that.
Yeah. I feel like Mouse is just like, when is this... I have, like, places to be. Like, how much longer are you going to do this? This is just really tedious.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, how do you get the blood on his face?
I don't know. Because they never punched his face.
They never punched his face. Yeah.
So it just felt... stuff like that just felt like... you know, a lot of the action blocking too, like it was hard to follow. I didn't really see like her leaving, like in the initial scene, in the initial sequence when she gets shot and she has to like escape the warehouse or whatever. There's a bunch of moments where you're like, oh no, yeah, he's right there, but then like she's gone, and it's like,
wait a second,
well,
yeah,
well, like how did she do that?
Yeah,
like. Showing me that it happened. Like,
I caught that when she was running away. There was a bunch of times.
There was a bunch of times where it was like
she went like 50 yards.
Yeah.
But with the edit of like it was like a cut, and then it was like suddenly she's 50 yards ahead, and you're like, wait a second.
Yeah. Or like just like she's hiding, and someone is right next to her, and then like they look around, and then she's gone. It's like, but you didn't give us the thing. Like you hid the trick.
Yeah.
Like there's no anyway. So there was a lot of that stuff, and then like some of the more sort of pedestrian kind of like solves for stuff, like having your smart nephew hack the camera.
Sure.
Like, come on. You play a lot of video games, so you can do this. It's like, and at first you think, well, that's going to be a joke. No, we can't. But then, oh no, it turns out, because he plays a lot of video games, he can hack a camera.
And the video that he pops up out of like 8 hours of recording is the exact one.
Oh wait, no, I found it right before... she gets killed. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, it feels very, like, paint by numbers. Like, this is the thing that happens here, and now we know we have this character that can do this thing. And it's like, there's nothing interesting here.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I felt that, too. I felt that the most, not necessarily in a scene, but in the character of the last-minute redeemed partner, which was set up, which, talk about... One of the clues that they just linger on, this guy has a family.
Wait. Remember, he has a family.
He's got pictures in his locker. Okay, he's on a date with his wife.
I was like,
oh, he's got pictures in his locker.
Other than that, you want me to care that this guy doesn't die?
Yeah.
Why is this so important?
It was. You were beat over the head with it, and so I knew from the second that she called him, right? She calls him, I need your help. I'm like, oh, for sure, he's going to be bad, but he's going to be reluctant that he's bad. And then he's going to do something to save her at the end. I knew immediately everything that was going to happen with this guy. And I was right the entire way. And so there were times like that were characters that, like, it wasn't necessarily his acting. He did great. Don't know who he is. I saw him in an episode of New Girl once, but like, that's all. Not invested in him. Know what's gonna happen. Blah. It was just blah.
This is a rated R movie.
Oh my gosh, is it?
I believe it is.
Why?
I don't know. Well, that's the thing. So this is one of the reasons I was like, why is he just giving him body blows? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm watching a TV-14 movie. So, like, or, you know, or TV show.
No,
so
it is rated R.
It's rated R.
Weird.
And there are things that I feel like, and like, let's talk about missed opportunities for a second. Because you mentioned, excuse me, I believe his name is Kevin in the movie. Is her partner's name Kevin? And
it is Kevin, yes.
And the actor who plays him, his name is Reed Scott, who actually is a very good actor. He's actually a very good comic actor. He's in Veep. He's one of the main characters in Veep, and he's just fantastic. Anyway, I like this guy a lot. They didn't give him much to do in this movie, other than be very, very obvious.
And here was an opportunity to really like a character, okay? Really, really, really like a character, and then I'm just gonna rewrite a scene, okay? Here we go. All right, you ready for this?
Yes. All right. I'm ready.
So, we've got Reed Scott playing Kevin, and we're introduced to him and Alicia West, played by Naomi Harris, and their partners in the beginning, and all that stuff. Leave it alone. It's great. We like him. He's nice. Yeah. He's a fun guy.
Sure.
He seems pretty chill. He seems also. He told that one really funny joke at the beginning.
Yeah.
I should say the joke wasn't funny. His delivery was funny, and the way they followed it up was funny. And so we're okay. Great. This guy's not racist, and he's like, you know, he seems like a good cop.
Family guy.
He seems like a good partner, and he's a family guy, and we like it. We like him. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. Okay? All right. So later on, she's got to make this phone call.
Okay.
And we leave that alone too, because it's like, her phone's dead. I gotta make a call. I gotta call my partner. I trust him. Why do you trust him? Because he's a good guy. We agree. He's a great guy. We love him. Great. And then she finally calls him and she sets a meet. Leave all that alone. It's great. She gets in the car with him. What happens? She tells him what happens. Okay. He's really panicked because he knows what this means.
Yeah.
But he's a really good guy. So he's gonna help her. He's going to help her. Okay?
Okay.
He's just a good guy, and he's going to help her.
Yeah.
And then they get spotted by the people who are chasing her, and there's a moment when it becomes clear that he's not going to just roll over easily, and he ends up getting killed in a really awful way, and she gets away.
Mm.
So if you want the stakes to feel way more like meaningful, like I want to see that happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like the best thing that we can do to amp up the stakes is to let our hero get help from a character that we like and then see that character get like murdered.
Yes. Because then it illustrates to us that, this could happen to people I like. This could happen to her.
Yeah. It already happened to somebody I really like. It's already a tragedy. And suddenly what she's fighting for is even more, has even more meat on it. You know, it's like, I'm like, we see the consequences of acquiescing to the status quo, which is the whole point of this movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's the whole point of this movie to illustrate to us why it's so important to be the change, because if you don't, then you're just playing the game as it's on the table. Mm-hmm. And if you play the game as it's on the table, then people who shouldn't be murdered are murdered. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so don't give me this whole crap about him being like, I mean, I get it. Like, you want her to be the only character who is willing to do what it takes. Like, that's fine. But honestly, like, I would still be on board. I would still be so supportive and so invested in her as a protagonist, even if you gave me one other person that was, like, good enough to at least not betray her, you know? And then get killed for it.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yep.
Anyway.
I agree. I'm curious. I have one last question for you.
Give it to me.
Did her actions make a difference in the world of this movie?
I loved the moment when the video gets sent to the woman who's like the, I don't know what she is.
She's
like
the chief.
Some chief. Is she the chief?
Chief, yeah.
No, she's the chief.
In the white shirt?
Okay, great. She's the chief. I didn't know if she was the chief or she was like IA. But anyway, because IA was mentioned earlier in the film. Anyway, so she's the chief. And the video gets to her, and her reaction is so good.
Mm-hmm.
That instantaneous, like, ugh! Then she gets on the phone immediately, like, great. That's great. It's a good, like, payoff for, like, what we've been waiting for this whole time.
Yeah. It was also, they did lead kind of some breadcrumbs, because you could tell that she was kind of suspicious.
Yeah.
Of
sure. Frank. Absolutely.
Frank Grillo. What's his name?
Terry Malone.
Malone. Malone.
Terry Malone.
Malone.
Frank Grillo.
Yes.
Terry Malone. Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. I loved that moment. I loved that scene. I'd say in the world of this movie, absolutely. But only for a second.
Yeah.
Because, like, it takes her, and it takes other people doing the things like that. Like, being uncompromising like that. Mm-hmm. You know, being willing to do the hard thing even when it costs you a lot.
Yeah.
I say yes. In the world of this movie, it matters. It was really visible you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and that's part of the point of what the story was trying to do, is give us a circumstance that you know, became very visible to the right people in the right way. The fact that the showdown happened in front of, like, this group of people who were so inclined to hate police.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Is good.
Yeah, so I'm going to say, because I loved walking away from this movie and thinking, like, I'm glad that they didn't show me that she was all buddy-buddy and this apartment complex area was now just happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that I didn't see that, because I walked away thinking, did it make a difference? And then I realized, it doesn't matter. That's not the story that they're telling.
Yeah.
What they're saying is, it doesn't matter if it makes a difference or not.
You do it anyway.
You do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. And so I liked walking away with that kind of little gem.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it makes a difference or not. I do what's good because it's good to do.
Doing the right thing is its own virtue.
Yes.
You don't. Doing the right thing is its own end. You don't do it because you're trying to get something better.
Yeah.
You're not trying to trade up with good action. You do it just because it's right.
Yeah.
And that is something.
And that's the heart that made all of these meh scenes be like, I'm okay with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think we nailed that ending.
I do. I think we stuck the landing just like the movie
did. We did.
I think the ending to this episode is at least as good as the ending of the movie. If not, like, way better.
Here we are at the end. See, how do we transition, though? You know what I mean? How do we just transition seamlessly
into the credits? You know what part of the problem is?
Into the credits.
You know what I need to do is I need to make a note in my notes of, like, this is what I want my last thought to be. But the thing is, I don't really often know what I want my last thought to be until
we always end up going somewhere different, I expect. Usually.
Yeah. Oh, here's what I want to say.
Okay.
And this is what I want my last thought to be, because this is the last section of the notes, which is, like, what comes next?
Yeah.
If we're talking about franchise movies, we always say, hey, what comes next?
True.
This is not going to be a franchise movie.
No, it won't.
It will not be a franchise movie. It did not make a ton of money. It's whatever. But I would not be opposed to seeing Naomi Harris play her own brand of hero in a TV show after this movie.
I agree.
I would love...
Can we put Tyrese in there, too?
Oh, absolutely.
Sweet.
Yeah. No, it's yours. And I'd love to bring... Reed Scott back and give him a better role.
I agree. I just put together who Darius is. It was bugging me for so long. Literally, right now, in this moment.
It's Luke Cage.
It's Luke Cage.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had no idea.
And you know what? It's funny. I kind of expected you to be like, and you know who, you know.
Yeah.
You know who Mike Ulcher is. Because
he's a comic guy. Yeah.
And you start listing him off.
No. Like, no. No, I was looking at him because, one, I was admiring his beard the whole time. Oh, I was like, man, that is a beard.
Really good beard. Impressive
but
beard.
Then I could not figure out the way he was talking, the way he looked. I was like, you're so familiar.
It just clicked.
It's
probably the
Luke
beard
Cage.
That threw you off.
I think it was. Yeah. Yeah.
That man has such a presence.
He does. He really, really
does.
It's
like, and with the fur, too.
Yeah.
But props to costuming in this movie.
Yeah.
All across the board, honestly. Yeah. Like, really
good stuff.
Great.
Good stuff.
Yep. Shot really beautifully. Set design. Like, I mean, it was a movie that was constructed very, very well.
Yes.
The only weaknesses were really in the scene writing.
Yes.
Anyway. I'm glad we talked about this movie. I'm glad this movie won the vote.
Me too. I think one day we'll get to the current war, because it was a close.
We'll see.
I'm gonna watch it either way, so I'd love to talk about it.
All right. Okay. Well, do we have any announcements other than to reiterate that on Saturday we're gonna go see Terminator?
I don't think so.
Okay. So this very Saturday we're seeing Terminator.
Yeah.
And we want you to join us either.
Please do.
For the film or after the film.
Yeah.
AMC 16, Burbank. All right.
Thank you, Michael Baumiller, for the
next episodes.
Oh, so, yeah. What is the next episode?
So this coming Monday, we're doing an off-the-shelf episode about The Shining.
Yes!
Which is pretty exciting.
The Shining.
Technically, Halloween was yesterday, but Dr. Sleep comes out next week. So,
have I admitted on this podcast that I'd never seen The Shining?
I believe you may have admitted that. And if you hadn't, now you have.
Now I have. I'm excited to see it and talk about it.
I am so excited to hear you talk about it.
Yeah.
Dr. Sleep is sort of a direct sequel to The Shining, or in some way. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Isn't he the kid?
Yeah, it's a direct sequel.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure if it's a sequel of the book or a sequel of the movie.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so there's that. And then the following Friday is will be our coverage of Terminator Dark Fate.
Yes.
Naturally.
Yes. So. Yeah, next week. Which I'm excited. I'm really excited about because.
Oh, man.
Man, do you get into it.
I will get into it. If you were worried and feeling unsatisfied with how much I've gotten into movies lately, you are going to be satisfied.
Yes, indeed.
I will satisfy you.
Is now, I'm going to just fly right by that. Is now the time to thank Michael Baumiller?
Yes.
Thank you, Michael Baumiller, for the wonderful music that we're hearing right about now.
And remember, everyone, to love movies like a nerd and respect them like a critic.
And cut.